from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Rose Peck was called the godmother of Chinatown, the most powerful woman in San Francisco, and perhaps most often a power broker, but that last was a term she didn't like. If I was white, she said, they'd call me a civic leader. Her many friends and allies, from San Francisco's political leaders to the low-income seniors, immigrants, and other outsiders whose causes she championed, are mourning her death this week, and we want to discuss the controversial leader's life and legacy. Scott Schaefer is here with us in studio, senior editor for KQED's California Politics and Government Desk. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Michael.
And we'll also welcome former Mayor Willie Brown, former mayor of San Francisco, who served for over 30 years in the California legislature. Good to have you back with us, Willie Brown.
Nice to be with you.
And we're also going to welcome Gordon Chin, who is former director of San Francisco's Chinatown Community Development Center, author of Building Community, Chinatown Style. Welcome to the program, Gordon Chin.
Thank you.
And I thought first, before we get into discussing and remembering Rose Peck, we'd hear from Mayor Ed Lee, speaking yesterday about her.
As tough as nails that she's described that, in the personal convictions that she had, she would often shed a few tears for the things that she really believed in that had a really hard time being successful in. I think, for example, she had a really emotional time describing how she saw each and every senior walking around in Chinatown and how struggling they were to get good meals.
Well, I thought I'd go to you, Mayor Brown, first to talk about what you just heard from the present mayor, Ed Lee, and I don't think we will see her like again, and I know you've been deeply moved and affected by her death, but talk about what he's talking about. That is the care that she had. That certainly came across to me when I interviewed her, the compassion.
That is actually what drove her. Power was not what she was interested in. She was interested in affecting the lives of people in a very positive way, but only to those who needed it. And that was the difference in Rose Peck and all the rest of us.
And Gordon Chin, what do you most remember Rose Peck for? I mean, aside from the obvious effect she had on Chinese community here in San Francisco and beyond?
Well, I consider Rose one of my closest friends. And I've always been impressed with her stamina. She could be sick and feeling really bad, but you wouldn't know it. And she was one of the most passionate and compassionate people I've ever met. There's only one Rose Peck, and there will never be another Rose Peck.
And Scott Schaefer, what about the reputation of Take No Prisoners?
You know, Rose Peck was a force of nature. She wouldn't take no for an answer. And if your answer was no, you were going to pay for it. Whether you were a mayor or a police chief or a commissioner, a member of the Board of Supervisors, she settled scores. She had a lot of power, and she wasn't afraid to use it.
Talk about her role in the city. I mean, she influenced so much. What comes right to the top?
Well, you know, when she got involved in politics in the 60s and 70s, there weren't very many, if any, elected officials in this city who were Asian American. You know, Asian Americans typically worked sort of behind the scenes. They worked hard. They tended to their families and their communities. They weren't involved in politics so much. And Rose Peck really changed that. She did it through her force of her personality. She went to politicians, people like Art Agnos, who I worked for when he was mayor, and said, I want you to appoint Ed Lee. He's a really up-and-coming civil rights attorney. Why don't you put him on the Human Rights Commission? And he worked his way up the bureaucracy. Fred Lau, who was in the San Francisco Police Department, she pushed him to mayors, and he worked his way up the ranks to become the first Asian American police chief in San Francisco, and on and on and on. And she encouraged people to step forward, to step up and get involved in politics, whether they were commissioners, staffers, department heads, elected officials, and now the mayor. That's, of course, where how Ed Lee rose through the bureaucracy with help from people like Rose and a little help from Willie Brown as well to become mayor of the city.
But Gordon Chin, you heard the nice words from Ed Lee, and yet she got ticked at him. Mainly because I didn't. Cindy Wu was a battle over her, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Rose was extremely instrumental in Ed Lee becoming mayor. But this is not about sort of a nationalistic push for Chinese Americans, and that's it. I mean, we're talking about issues, we're talking about policies that affect all communities, but also San Francisco Chinatown. So when the mayor appointed someone that she did not feel was in the best interests of Chinatown, she wasn't shy about expressing her disappointment at that and her outrage about that. And that subsequently led to the election of Aaron Peskin in District 3.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, Willie Brown. I mean, that was sort of revenge against Ed Lee in a way, wasn't it?
Well, and no, it was, frankly, the best representation for Chinatown. She was not an ongoing regular friend of Aaron Peskin's. They had been on opposite sides of the issue on many occasions. They had worked together on many occasions. She knew, however, deep down in her soul, that the appointment made by the mayor was not a good one for Chinatown or, frankly, for San Francisco. And she expressed herself. However, you talked about at the outset how revenge was part of her M.O. Not exactly. It was revenge only if that was a positive move toward achieving a rightful goal. When she came back, and even after Ed Lee had literally broken her heart and many other people's hearts by his failing to appoint Cindy Wu, she came back and she pulled every one of us from every section of San Francisco together to Portsmouth Square to say, I want one voice and one voice only, and that says, do not recall Ed Lee. And she meant that in spite of all of her disagreements and displeasure with Ed Lee at that moment.
Well, she said she didn't particularly think of herself as a political broker or political powerhouse or whatever you want to call it or term it, but in many ways, there's very little denying that she was. Wouldn't you say, Mayor Brown?
Well, I would say that Rose Pack had a serious impact, a decisive impact in many occasions and in many places on things that happened in the city. But she had the impact because she was advocating for what was the right thing to do. She did not win any of her arguments based on just the pure numbers. She won them because she knew and could convince each of us that her recommendation was a correct one. That was her strength.
Well, I said that I'd interviewed her a while back, and I'd like our listeners to hear a cut from that interview where she was talking about her failures and her successes.
Every morning I get up. To me, it's a new day. So if I failed yesterday, I am not afraid to try it tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. It's not that I'm smarter or people are more stupid. It's just that I think I'm persistent and very stubborn. And after, you know, you try so many times, one day you succeed. People don't see the failure. They only see that point of success.
Well, let's talk, Scott Schaefer, about her successes and her failures with you. But what was the main criticism that you would have leveled, or that was leveled, I should say, at Rose Pack?
Well, you know, it's easy in retrospect to say, to level criticism. But I think you do have to give her in her life, an extraordinary life, a lot of kudos for what she accomplished. I mean, if there was a criticism of Rose Pack, I guess, and there were many, she was sort of an intimidating figure. And, anyone who's been through the Chinese New Year parade where Rose would give running commentary as the elected officials went by and oftentimes insulting people over the loudspeaker if they had done something she didn't like. I mean, that was all part of the package.
Have you seen the interview Will Hurst did with her when he asked her about one mayor after another?
I did. I think the only one she liked was you, Willie Brown.
That's true. That happens to be true.
And she talked about
Mayor Brown's dignity, actually.
Well, yeah. And Willie Brown and Rose Pack had something in common, which is, and it's an interesting philosophy, which is you have no permanent enemies in politics. You have allies who are with you sometimes, and then sometimes they're against you, you disagree, but then there's the next debate, the next fight, and you can rekindle those alliances. And I think that's something that Rose Pack knew how to do, and obviously Willie Brown did as well.
But she even took a little bit of a shot at you, Mayor Brown. I mean, she did say in that interview that you were very forgiving and dignity and all that, but she said you weren't a good judge of character.
She's absolutely right. Think about all the bum appointments I made, for which I got heavily criticized by her. But they were appointments made not for anything other than doing something for somebody whom I thought needed it, and she didn't think they were worth it. And in most cases, she was absolutely right. Think about it. I put Amos Brown on the Board of Supervisors and couldn't get him to run for re-election in a district where he could have won. I put Leslie Katz on, and she decided not to run for re-election. I mean, you talk about one after another. I put both Newsom and Leno on, and the first thing each of them did was, in one manner or another, challenge the administration. I put people on a planning commission thinking that they were going to be really talented, and they turned out to be bums. I mean, it's just awful. And she was right. My appointment authority should have been taken away from me.
Well, the toughest remarks she had, I think, were for Gavin Newsom. She said California's not big enough for his ego, and she suggested that he didn't care about California or San Francisco. I mean, it was pretty harsh stuff, actually.
Well, Rose was firmly of the opinion that you can't be a diplomat if you really care about what should be the ultimate result. You had to be driven towards that result. She was never diplomatic, which means she did not do what many of us do, and that's guard our statements or guard our expressions or not wanting to be quoted. Rose wanted to send the message, and she knew the message needed to be sent, and she would tell Gavin to his face, as well as in your interview, Michael.
We're talking about Rose Pack, and I'd like to hear from you, our listeners, if you have memories of Rose Pack, thoughts about her. She was certainly an extraordinary influence on not only San Francisco, but on many people's lives. And I'd like to hear your thoughts and your memories. You can join us at our toll-free number. That's 866-733-6786. And welcome your thoughts and memories, as I said. Or, as I said, certainly somebody who generated a lot of strong opinions, and you may have one you want to express, so please feel free to do so. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or post questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment. We have a link to that 2013 interview I did with her posted on our website, kqed.org/forum. And you can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum, but please feel free to become part of the program. And I'd like to get Gordon Chen in this again, responding to Annie Chung, actually president and CEO of Self-Help for the Elderly, speaking yesterday about Rose Pack.
There's really no one else that could fill Rose's shoe. Why? Because Asians sometimes tend to be a little bit on, you know, like working in the background, not very vocal, sometimes not very cynical, you know. But Rose knows how to be tough when it needs to be tough.
Well, Gordon Chen, I think she's talking about, again, her role as far as the Asian community is concerned, and nobody can fill her shoes, nobody could be that tough.
No one can fill Rose's shoes, and no one should try. One thing Rose has taught all of us and through her life was never be afraid to speak up and never be afraid of the consequences of what you might say. And while there's very few of us that may be as outgoing and flamboyant as Rose, she taught us that we all have to speak up, and we cannot just play backroom politics or behind the scenes kind of stuff. We have to speak out, and we all need to do much more of it now that Rose is gone. So if there's any legacy that I hope people remember about Rose, is she inspired and sometimes, in her own unique way, encouraged people to speak up and to have courage. And Rose was one of the most courageous, bravest people I've ever met.
And again, you can indeed. We welcome you speaking up or out about Rose Pack. Our toll-free number is 866-733-6786. You can also email your thoughts to us, forum@kqed.org. And again, Gordon Chen is former director of San Francisco's Chinatown Community Development Center and author of Building Community, Chinatown Style. And let's hear another cut from the interview I did back in 2013 with Rose Pack when she was on Forum. And she was talking about the rise of Asian political power.
You have to understand it wasn't that long ago that, you know, we weren't even allowed to become citizens, or that we were treated, you know, or allowed to go to the public schools here, or even treated at the public health facilities.
Well, the Exclusion Act
yes,
was enforced for many years, yes.
Yes, and so those people paved, our forefathers paved the way for us to come in. and to make some strides. I think it is a very compelling narrative for the last 40 years, one of whom you mentioned, Henry Durr, there's Gordon Chin, there is Mayor Ed Lee, there's a whole group of our community leaders who put a lot of time and effort into this narrative. How do we get our people elected and represented in the various level of city government?
Well, Gordon Chin, there's been a lot of talk about the rise of Asians politically in San Francisco, not only because we have a mayor of Asian American background, but here she mentions you and she mentions Ed Lee and Henry Durr. She could have mentioned a lot more people.
Right. Well, Rose was absolutely right in that interview that we all need to step up. And I'm greatly encouraged at the level of interest in politics from our younger generation. I think it not only reflects the fact that Asian Americans are, 37% of the population of San Francisco, but you're seeing a whole generation of young activists who are getting involved in politics, not afraid to speak out, and Rose Pack had a lot to do with that.
You want to talk about the rise of Asian Americans politically for a moment, Scott?
Yeah, well, like, as I said, actually Willie Brown and I were talking yesterday in Chinatown at this remembrance for Rose Pack. And, you know, when she came on the scene, I think Mayor Brown, correct me if I'm wrong, but Gordon Lau had been on the board of supervisors. And he was the only Asian American elected, and he was no longer on the board.
No, he got defeated 2 years later.
Yeah, and so it really was starting from ground zero. And like I said, we take it for granted now. We've got Phil Ting in the Assembly. We've got David Chu in the Assembly and Jane Kim running for the state Senate. I mean, it's just part of the landscape. You don't question it. But back in the 70s and 80s, that was not the case. And Rose Pack, along with many allies, Asian American and others, Willie Brown, Dianne Feinstein, Art Agnos, you know, many folks who helped build that foundation that those folks I mentioned were able to climb and get into office and have a big influence in Sacramento and beyond. It really is a testament not just to Rose, but Rose was really the spark plug. She was really the one who, through sheer force of personality and an incredible commitment to the Asian American community and to her Chinatown, the neighborhood, was able to really leave this legacy of generations of leadership behind her that will, you know, in some ways continue the work that she started. She can't be replaced as a personality. She is a one of a kind, and I don't think anybody can really even try, as Gordon Chin said, to be Rose Pack. That's not going to happen.
Well, I do want to talk about some of her accomplishments, but we got a direct question from one of our listeners named Dave. How did Ms. Pack earn a living?
She did not. She worked, if at all, as a consultant and the head of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce. She lived very modestly. Yesterday, it was stated publicly that Rose had absolutely nothing. She did stand in line and organize a group of people stand in line with her to get into one of the affordable housing units that Gordon Chin's friends and world had produced in San Francisco during my administration. And even that didn't satisfy her because it wasn't in Chinatown. She moved back to Chinatown and lived extremely modestly. I have no idea what the Chinese Chamber of Commerce paid her, but it wasn't that much. But so many people loved Rose Pack that she knew that love would sustain her, period.
Well, getting questions like, did she have a family and kids? And the answer to that is no. In fact, she got somewhat emotional in that interview I did with her when I asked about that, because she said she, you know, dedicated herself to civic causes and she didn't really have time for a family, and that was a regret. And here's Terry, who asks, isn't the sad plight of poor people in Chinatown due mostly to the organized crime in that part of the city? Gordon Chin, you want to take that?
Well, I'm certainly no expert, but organized crime or crime in general has been on the wane in recent years. Certainly that is not a factor in terms of the income levels or income inequality that Chinatown residents face.
I'm sorry.
You must
Willie Brown
must know that the incidence of crime in Chinatown, I think the police department would tell you that it's not only going dramatically down, but the evidence of violence is virtually non-existent, as it was many years ago, long before Rose Park.
And by the way, we are talking about Rose Park, Chinatown community activist and political powerhouse who died on Sunday at the age of 68. Scott Schaefer with us in studio, senior editor for KQED's Politics and Government Desk, Willie Brown, former mayor of San Francisco, and Gordon Chin, former director of San Francisco Chinatown's Community Development Center. Scott, you want to say something here?
Yeah, you know, one of those epic battles that Rose Park had in the late 1980s, early 90s was over the Embarcadero Freeway, which, of course, had its off-ramp into Chinatown. And then Mayor Art Agnos, after the earthquake, wanted to bring it down, and Rose Park was very much opposed to that. The freeway, of course, did come down. I think most people would say that was a very good decision. But nonetheless, you fast forward, what, 25 years now, and the Central Subway is nearing completion, going from roughly 3rd Street into through the, you know, through Union Square toward Chinatown, and that really much was very much a labor of love of Rose Park. I mean, that was something that she championed from the very beginning. It was a very expensive project, but I think through, again, through sheer force of personality, lobbying people like Nancy Pelosi for federal funding, you know, it got done. And, you know, love it or hate it, and I don't know that anybody's going to hate it, but it was controversial, but that subway is going to happen in large measure because of her.
And again, you're listening to Forum. We are talking about Rose Park with Scott Schaefer, Willie Brown, and Gordon Chin, and this is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, simply go to kqed.org. I'm Michael Krasny. And let me go back to Mayor Willie Brown. What do you see as her major accomplishments? You know, it's funny, Scott is talking about the Central Subway. I was going to bring that up. But indeed, she played a part, an integral part in so many things. What rises to the top for you, Willie Brown?
Well, let's start with my own election as mayor of San Francisco. Let's start with Art Agnos' election as mayor of San Francisco. Rose Park played a key role in each one of those. She played a decisive role in my situation. I was running against an incumbent mayor, and in order to defeat him, obviously it takes a lot more effort and a lot more hurdles unless he had been indicted or something. On the other hand, Art ran against one of the favorites of San Francisco, John Molinari. And believe me, Rose's efforts to make sure that Art got elected because of the potential for her community and what she cared about, she succeeded. And the same with reference to me. And you referenced Fred Lau earlier, Scott. It was at the inauguration, and I obviously didn't know the rules about how you appoint people, but I appointed Fred Lau, chief of police, and I named Bob Dimmons, a young black man who had sued the fire department to integrate it, as the fire chief. And I did that at the inaugural address right in YBG with Bill Clinton on the telephone participating. That was Rose Park's voice that I was offering, and it was Rose Park's recommendation. And believe me, when she called me up about Gordon Chin on Park and Rec, I accepted that recommendation. She called me about Ed Lee to move up in the process of becoming head of the Department of Public Works in my administration after being the person who handled all of the purchases for the city as the purchaser. I said, on one condition, Rose, you tell him to move to San Francisco. She told him to move to San Francisco, and he did. Rose was awesome in every way, and believe me, the Central Subway, which she clearly should be remembered for. Maybe, just maybe, it should be called, really, Rose Park's Way.
Well, we name bridges after people who have had a great deal of influence in San Francisco.
Even though they may not deserve it.
I'm also wondering, let me go back to you, Scott. Scott Schaefer's here with us. We're talking about Rose Park. Because you worked, as you said, for Art Agnos, and as Willie Brown said, she was really, in many ways, paramount importance in his getting elected. But here she is talking to Will Hurst about Art Agnos condescending, no toleration for dissent.
Papa knows best, I think was the
phrase.
Yeah,
that was what she said. In other words, when she looked back, as I said, she could be, and we've talked about how tough she was, but pretty harsh.
She was. And, you know, even with Art Agnos, again, it came back to the Embarcadero Freeway, which was, in her mind, a lifeline for Chinatown. I mean, that was the crux of her argument, is that it was going to devastate the small businesses in Chinatown. It wasn't because she was going to profit from it personally if it got rebuilt. It was because she was worried about the men and women who work and live in Chinatown and have businesses there. And when Art Agnos said, no, we're taking it down, she did make him pay. And I don't recall if she actively – I know she did not work to help Art get reelected, although she was, as Willie Brown said, instrumental in his getting elected the first time. There were things she did that certainly helped Frank Jordan get elected mayor.
And, although it's funny to hear her talk about Jordan. He served 4 years.
Yeah, he was there blissful. I think she said blissful. It was a blissful 4 years. Yeah. She didn't say blissful ignorance, but she just said 4 years.
But let me go back to you on this, Gordon Chin. I mean, you remember that whole battle over the $160 million revamp of the city's municipal railway system to Chinatown. It was a big battle.
It certainly was. And the Central Subway was a direct outgrowth of that battle over the Embarcadero Freeway. And let me say that battle originally was fought out with a lot of engineering, a lot of urban planning advice, et cetera, et cetera. And Rose was concerned that the impacts of the tearing down the freeway were not being assessed adequately. And there was this rush to tear down the freeway and build a wonderful Embarcadero roadway, but it wasn't until the state engineers determined that the Embarcadero freeway could not be safely retrofitted that Rose and many others in Chinatown changed our mind, right? Because public safety had to be number one. But we needed to have that technical expertise weighing into the equation and not have this rush to judgment to assume that tearing down the freeway was a fait accompli.
And again, Gordon Chin is the author of Building Community Chinatown Style. Thank you, Gordon Chin. Thank you, Willie Brown. Thank you, Scott Schaefer. And thank you, our listeners. We do remember Rose Pack, and she will be remembered for a long time to come. Let me thank you again for being with us this segment. We have another hour of Forum coming ahead. We're going to talk with Jeffrey Toobin about the strange case and conviction and the aftermath of Patty Hearst and the Symbionese Liberation Army. Stay tuned for that. For all of us here at KQED Public Radio, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.